This is Business Insights, a podcast brought to you by global strategy consultancy Roland Berger.
Welcome to What Tech Can Do, the podcast series from Roland Berger's Advanced Technology Center. In each episode, our experts discuss the technological and industrial shifts that decisive leaders can't afford to get wrong. This series is for business leaders and investors who need more than analysis. They need the operational reality behind the strategy.
In today's episode, we're focusing on gigafactories, where you can expect to learn more about why announcing the start of production is the beginning of the hardest phase, not the end of it. We'll also explore what separates the projects that ramp up quickly from the ones that spend years catching up. And lastly, we'll highlight the decisions that are made months before SOP that determine whether a gigafactory succeeds or fails. Joining us for this episode are Junhook Choi, Senior Project Manager at AlexEc, a Roland Berger company. We'll also be joined by Idris Alami, Managing Partner at AlexEc, and Wolfgang Bernhard, Senior Partner and Advanced Technology Center Co-Head at Roland Berger.
Today we have Wolfgang and Idris, and we are talking about the battery industrialization, especially focusing on the gigafactory. So Wolfgang and Idris, when we talk about the gigafactories, people always focus on the size of the gigafactory and the equipment and the capex and so on. But actually, you know, the building, the factory is not the finish. They need to run, because a lot of gigafactory announce the production, but almost 80-90% of the production or their target are missing during the start of the production. And I think this is the point what we would like to discuss. What about the challenges and what are the factors, what we need to maybe highlight here? So before we go in more details, I would like to see from the bigger picture. So Idris, what do you think, where are we standing in the global perspective about the battery industrialization?
Yeah, big picture wise, the Asian players, especially the Koreans and the Chinese, they are dominating the field. They have, let's say, up to 15 years of industrial experience already, what they can put into the game. And they are also having a much deeper supply chain and optimized processes across the entire supply chain from the mining until the cell up to the pack. So very vertically integrated. And this experience usually enables them, if they set up production in Western countries, to have less challenges during the ramp up and compared to the European and US players. When we go to Europe and see the picture there, we have different game, yeah, because the baseline is totally different. Europe is investing a lot in setting up gigafactories, but at the same time, it's not only about building the factory, but also scaling up the know-how and the supply chain and the entire ecosystem. And doing this simultaneously is extremely challenging. And this is one of the main reasons why we see many different players struggling after SOP, reaching, let's say, a proper production performance to be able to supply.
Yeah. So in summary, what you're saying is Asian players already learned and they are optimizing now. On the other hand, the European and American players, they are still learning and also scaling up in the parallel,
exactly.
Right?
Yes.
So I also think based on our project experiences that there are a lot of good teams, European players, there are also many Asian employees who is also supporting, but they are also now having some difficulties because of the entire system is now still under development.
Yes.
Right? So now let's go maybe to Wolfgang. So let's go to the factory level. Wolfgang, you are already a very experienced guy here. So what do you think the most challenging part of the gigafactory compared to other industrial projects?
I think the most important topic is that this combines various industries, actually. It combines chemical experience and manufacturing experience in a more an assembly way. And that means you need to look at a lot of things together. And during the planning and construction phase, you need to coordinate a huge amount of subcontractors. You need to have to look at MEP and construction, actually, and you can make a lot of errors, as we have seen in the past, already in the planning stage. You need to look at processes, you need to look at people, how to qualify them, and you need to coordinate all that across the value chain, across also with the suppliers, from a time perspective, from a qualification perspective, from a milestone perspective, and from an economic perspective. And the stakes are high, because if you miss the planned points, the business case is gone, and we have seen that quite often. that companies spend billions of euros because they're late.
I think what you just explained is this: during ramp-up is actually the first trial of the entire system, right? Not just running the production. So it is accumulated from the construction up to the ramp-up. And we see not only the production, but we also see the entire system is working or not, right? So Idris, then what do you think? Why is it ramp-up so difficult here? And what do you usually see in SOP phases?
Yeah. So usually what we see from our past projects is that when SOP is announced, the factories are still far, far away from the target performance. Yeah, because as you said, then the real challenges start when you start to ramp up. And the main reason is that in the battery manufacturing process, you have more than 50 sub-processes with more than 150 critical production parameters. And they are running at a very high speed to ensure the economies of scale. When we take, for example, the electrode production in the coating, it runs usually at 80 to 100 meters per minute. And only small deviations in the coating thickness can lead to a production issue or have an impact on the product behavior and on the product quality. Or, for example, if we take the stacking, one sheet is stacked within 0.2 seconds. And only small misalignments, they also have huge impact on the product quality. And you have hundreds of these issues. And during the ramp up, it's not only one issue you have to solve, you have 100 issues, they come at the same time. So it's extremely complex to solve it. You need to have the right team, the right expertise. And this makes it extremely challenging, especially for new players joining this industry to reach the target SOP and also the target performance. And what we see is that the phase starting from the SOP to the target performance is very capital intensive, because usually you produce a lot of scrap rate, and also all these business cases and all the manufacturers, they are not ready and they don't have the capital to follow up these critical ramp-up challenges.
I think also what I see from my project experience, even after the SOP, the operators, as you also visit the line a lot, they are changing the parameter constantly. So I think the line is running, but they are not stabilized, or they are not yet fully industrialized. So they are still continuing adjusting the parameters, right? So I think this is the main challenges on what we see. And also what you just mentioned, the one problem what we see, or the one issues what we see, is not just one issue from one certain process or one certain issue. It is just accumulated from the electrode process, cell assembly process, formation process, and we see from the outcome that there is an issue. So we have to tackle in the various aspects simultaneously to clear these issues, right? So I think this is a very difficult point. And also when you talk about electrode and also cell assembly, you know, the main challenges in there is a clean and dry room, right?
Yes.
So what is most critical items clean and dry room?
Actually, here you are hitting one very important aspect, what is also during the design of factories rather underestimated. The battery, especially the cell components, they are very sensitive to moisture and particles. So if you don't have a proper design for a clean and dry room during the ramp up, you will experience a lot of quality issues. Yeah, so setting a proper baseline here and investing also a certain amount of money is really important to, let's say, avoid many, many issues during the ramp up.
Yeah, actually here, this infrastructure problem, what usually Asian players also have during their new construction, or also European players have, I think this is a very important, because this infrastructure issue is also directly influencing, in the end, the product quality, right?
Yes. And the cost.
Yes, and also the cost.
Because it's a fine balance, I would say, as you mentioned, to design the clean and dry room a little bit bigger in order to be able to solve problems later on. So having more people in the clean dry room than originally anticipated in full speed. But at the same time, do not over-design it. Yeah?
Yeah.
And have something like it. 15 meter high truck, dry room that you never need, and that significantly impact your costs later on.
Yes.
So it's that balance, and to bring in the experience from failed or maybe not so good projects, I think, to find it, and I think that's what you do, right?
Yes. Definitely. One maybe example we see also across different gigafactories is that the clean and dry room is, for example, designed for 20 people, But during a ramp up, you have over 60 people, yes, and this spikes the humidity. And everyone is asking why I have so many electrode quality issues. Yes, and this is actually set in, during the concept phase.
Yes, this is exactly also what Wolfgang said. During the construction phase, everything should be considered in parallel or simultaneously. Otherwise, this will cause in during the ramp up or after SOP a lot of problems.
Yes.
Let's talk about the quality problems again. So quality issues or quality are very important in the battery industry, Idris. So do you have any experiences in qualities? Wolfgang also, do you have any experiences, qualities that are hugely impacting on the on product and also the customers or the, on the project launches?
Yes. Usually you have across the entire battery manufacturing process, you try to install quality gates to identify the quality issues where they occur. In most cases, it's extremely challenging, yeah? Because as I said, small misalignments or small deviations cannot be detected at this right sub-process. And that's why there's also an end-of-line test where you also make an OCV test, first OCV, second OCV, where you can detect, let's say, quality issues before sending the cells to the client. And of course, you have here a scrap rate, but it's definitely better than sending it to the client. And there are also some latent issues, what you can see only in the field. Yeah, and this is, of course, a drastic impact, let's say, and a major challenge for many manufacturers. Yes.
I think this quality is actually influencing on the production and also the delivery. And also, in the end, the relationship with the OEMs, right? Because they need to... they need to get this product to build their cars and also to produce their own product. But once the qualities are not met, then they cannot produce, right? Wolfgang, do you have also made some experiences of these qualities on your project?
Yeah, I think that's an important topic. And also, again, here it's finding the right balance between the risk that the cell manufacturer can take and being too risk avoidant and putting too many cells actually in the scrap bin. And we have seen that this is the case, that because of problems, they were reluctant to send out cells and they had huge scrap rates even after, I don't know, 1.5 years of project start with more than 50%. Maybe real scrap was only 20 or 30, but their customers already have lost the confidence. So they did risk avoidance. So that's why it's so important to, from the beginning, apply the right concepts, and you always talk about technical cleanliness. I think those kind of things to really make sure that quality is in the factory, is produced, and not only controlled at the end.
Yes, exactly. And as Idris, you just mentioned about the capital investment, right?
Yes.
This construction, ramp up, a lot of capital investments are required for building up the gigafactory. And if they lose or scrap all these kind of product, then they are losing also time and the cost, and also in the end, the trust from the OEM, right? So I think this is also very important. And you are also mentioning about the 30, 50 people from the supplier during the technical clean or the clean and dry room setup, and also during the construction phase, right? What are the roles of the suppliers actually doing during the ramp up?
The supplier role is extremely crucial. If we talk about early phase, what is also underestimated is the strong supplier integration into the construction phase. Yeah? That you usually during a construction, you have a general contractor, but more than 50 different subcontractors, right? Yep. Who are covering different disciplines. And here is very strong supplier integration on site presence is absolutely a success factor. And going to the ramp up, what is here important is that you keep, for example, the equipment manufacturers and the suppliers on site until you reach the target performance. Yeah? It's not only, let's say, enough to keep them until the SAT, the site acceptance test, or during the commissioning and cold and hot commissioning, but until you reach the target OE. Yeah? This is also underestimated. And you have from the early phase designed the contracts in a manner that they have to stay on site, right? So, yeah. And then obviously after the ramp up, you also start to see critical items in regarding the subcomponents, the supplier for different components like the aluminium foils, copper foils, cassette materials, and so on. And here also a strong supplier integration to assure a proper quality and quantity is essential.
It's like in any simultaneous engineering project, right?
Exactly. Yes.
And also one thing very important factor from my experience is actually, of course, the first is the involvement or engagement of the supplier. But another part is it's not only the number of supplier or people are there, right? It's about the how experienced they are, because I've seen also a lot of new guys who are supporting because after the SOP or SAT, they think like, oh, contract is already ended. So they are just sending some new guys who for the experience as a training center.
The C team.
Yes, exactly. And then it happens a lot of issues there, and they cannot, let's say, handle these issues. So it is like hugely escalated, and again, another quality problem occur, right? So Wolfgang, I think we talk about a lot of like these points in each single aspect, but in the end, those are all originated or generated in the earlier phase from the construction, right? What is your opinion on how to prevent from the construction phase?
Yeah, I think the foundations for success or for failure are already laid in planning and in construction. And a proper setup of the organization that is on one hand clearly defined, but that also takes into account that needs to adapt during the different phases is crucial. A very clear project management office supported by the right type of experts already from start. Yeah, with people from Asia, with people that have done it and not just learned it in university.
Exactly.
I think it's a really crucial point what Wolfgang hits here, to establish from the beginning on a project organization what addresses the complexity, right?
Yes.
And including all different players into the team, that you do it as one team. Yeah? It's an investment, but it's very fruitful at the end during the ramp up. Definitely, you cannot reduce the risk to zero. Yeah, you will always have ramp-up issues. Even the heritage players, if they localize somewhere else, they also have ramp-up problems. But you can really big issues you can avoid if you invest more time in the planning. Yeah?
Exactly. Actually, the technical aspect, quality aspects are the typical aspect what people consider, right? But this governance or the project management aspect, this is what usually, let's say, underestimated in the ramp-up phase or construction phase.
And it becomes even more crucial because of cultural differences. Yes. We all know you have to integrate people from China or from Korea.
Yes.
They need to work with Germans or with French people. Everybody has a different culture.
Yes.
They need to adapt. They need to trust each other. That takes time. And they need to learn to work together, actually, in an environment that is not what they were used to work before. It's just their colleagues that all speak German or all speak French. They need to talk in English. They need to be aware that there might be miscommunication and so on.
Also the colleagues who talk only in Korean and Chinese.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
So it's the other way around. Yes. Also similar cases, yes. Right?
That's why actually the on-site piece is crucial.
Yes.
That the entire team is on-site also to enable a basis to build trust.
Yes.
Especially working with Asians, you can do a lot of things with trust. But first you have to build up the trust, right?
Yes. I can confirm.
Yeah.
So now we are only talking about those facts which went wrong, right? So let's talk about something positive. So what are the success factors for the project launches?
Yes. So definitely there are many things the C-level can decide correctly from the beginning on. Yeah? It's the first point we addressed already, a proper project on the organization. Yeah? You need manpower, you need competence, and you need supplier integration from the early on. A second thing is don't try to save cost at the wrong spot. Yeah? Try to save cost in clean and dry rooms. Yeah? Design them for a proper process to assure later on the quality. And the third point from my perspective, and it's also extremely crucial, is a realistic planning. Yeah, because without a realistic planning, you will never achieve your targets. I see projects where they have planned to ramp up multiple electrode and cell lines in the factory and simultaneously building other gigafactories. This will not work. So having from the beginning on a realistic planning in terms of timeline, but also in terms of budget is crucial.
Yeah,
I can confirm that's the most important topic. We have seen so many business plans that were completely unrealistic. And
yes.
It turned out that some of them never happened because the companies run out and tried out of money.
Yes.
So being more realistic and not just promising something to whoever it is, whether it's upper management, whether it's the supervisory board, or whether it's external investors, is crucial because the rest is doomed to fail.
Yes.
If you are not doing that.
In the beginning, they always see as an ambitious planning, right? But in the end, it turns into the unrealistic planning. I think this is what we always need to keep that in mind, not only for the European players, but also Asian players who are new in the new location. I think this is a general factors for everybody, right?
Yeah.
even more important, I think, if I look at the Chinese players, yeah, they have two or three requirements in permitting to look at in general, and they deal maybe with one or two agencies to solve those permitting issues. So they build a factory and they ramp it up in maybe 18 months or so.
Yeah.
And then they think they can do the same in Europe, because they think, oh, we are fast, we are agile, we are deciding fast, which they do. But they underestimate the roadblocks that they have because of the administrative and the legislative system in Europe or in the US, the differences in culture and so on and so on.
Yes, they will experience some roadblocks, what they cannot do by themselves, right? In Europe especially, also in America.
Definitely.
So now we are talking about a lot of single detail factors. And I would like to ask very important one question. Do you think the European batteries players will have the future in 5 or 10 years?
Most difficult question, yeah.
Yeah, I do believe so. What they need are partnerships. They all start various forms of partnerships, but they need partnerships. If you want to drive a car, it's not a good idea to do that without a driving teacher, right?
Yes.
Just starting sit in and think you can go to the highway might end up with some problems. So really have somebody on your side that helps you, that already knows how to do it. Accept that you need to learn and use that as a player. If that's being done, I think there's a future, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point, because the Koreans and the Chinese, they have undergone a learning curve, right? More than one decade. And they invested a lot of efforts, a lot of R&D, a lot of investments and time. Yeah.
Yes.
The time factor is crucial. And if Europe invests the same time, the same efforts, it's definitely possible to succeed in the battery business, but there is no shortcut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this is a very interesting point. As a Korean who is also living in Europe, experiencing all these battery gigafactories for Asian players and also European players, I think next 5 or 10 years will be very interesting to see how the battery industry goes also in Europe and also America, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we need to have the right environment in terms of regulations. We will need probably in Europe concerted action between the industry and the politicians in order to do so, and also in order to build up a certain scale, because companies that lack scale will not be competitive. They simply fail because they don't have the necessary R&D power. They don't have the necessary budgets to do so, and that's probably the most crucial topic here in order to stay competitive in that global environment.
Yes, I think that is very important statement to understand about the battery industrialization, especially towards the European players and also Asian players who will localize in the new location, right? So thank you very much for the having time for this podcast.
I thank you.
In the next episode, we'll go deep on another technology reshaping how industries operate. Subscribe so you don't miss it.
Thank you for listening to Business Insights by Roland Berger. Roland Berger is a leading global strategy consultancy. Our full-line service portfolio spans across all key industries and business functions. Established in 1967 in Munich, we are renowned for driving transformation, innovation, and business performance around the world. For more information, visit our website at rolandberger.com.